Scripture lesson this morning is from Luke, chapter 1, verses 5 through 25. When Herod was king of Judea, there was a Jewish priest named Zechariah. He was a member of the priestly order of Abijah, and his wife Elizabeth was also from the priestly line of Aaron. Zechariah and Elizabeth were righteous in God's eyes, careful to obey all the Lord's commandments and regulations. They had no children because Elizabeth was unable to conceive, and they were both very old. One day, Zechariah was serving God in the temple, for his order was on duty that week. As was the custom of the priests, he was chosen by lot to enter the sanctuary of the Lord and burn incense. While the incense was being burned, a great crowd stood outside praying. While Zechariah was in the sanctuary, an angel of the Lord appeared to him, standing to the right of the incense altar. Zechariah was shaken and overwhelmed with fear when he saw him, but the angel said, "Don't be afraid, Zechariah. God has heard your prayer. Your wife Elizabeth will give you a son, and you are to name him John. You will have great joy and gladness, and many will rejoice at his birth, for he will be great in the eyes of the Lord. He must never touch wine or other alcoholic drinks. He will be filled with the Holy Spirit even before his birth, and he will turn many Israelites to the Lord their God. He will be a man with the spirit and power of Elijah. He will prepare the people for the coming of the Lord. He will turn the hearts of the fathers to their children, and he will cause those who are rebellious to accept the wisdom of the godly." Zechariah said to the angel, "How can I be sure this will happen? I am an old man now, and my wife is also well along in years." Then the angel said, "I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. It is he who sent me to bring you this good news. But now, since you don't believe what I said, you will be silent and unable to speak until the child is born, for my words will certainly be fulfilled at the proper time." Meanwhile, the people were waiting for Zechariah to come out of the sanctuary, wondering why he was taking so long. When he finally did come out, he couldn't speak to them. Then they realized from his gestures and his silence that he must have seen a vision in the sanctuary. When Zechariah's week of service in the temple was over, he returned home. Soon afterward, his wife Elizabeth became pregnant and went into seclusion for 5 months. "How kind the Lord is," she exclaimed. "He has taken away my disgrace of having no children." The word of God for the people of God.
Well, there's something special that seems to always happen at Christmas every year, something that fascinates me. We've been grown up all year long. We've been paying our bills and taking care of our responsibilities, attending appointments to appointments, and taking care of all the things that need to be done. But then all of a sudden after Thanksgiving, it's like something changes. Something happens within us. Something sort of awakens us, and we start hanging Christmas lights on our house. We start decorating the church. Some put those little white lit-up reindeer in their front yard. You know what I'm talking about? Others, like my sister, likes to put up these great big blow-up things all in their yard, you know, like the snow globes and Santas. And I think she probably has, do you remember last year? We caught some of them and borrowed them. I think she probably has about 10 of them now. But some people like to do that. People like to listen to the music. We listen to the music in our cars, the same type of music we used to hear when we were kids. We pile into the cars. We like to drive around, look at Christmas lights, and ooh and gah at them. We put on ugly Christmas sweaters, and we start to drink eggnog, right? And we don't just give people gifts, but we wrap them up in all these fancy bows and do all these pretty things to them. Our hearts just seem to wake up at this time of year. We start to do all these different things, more childlike things, and get excited. And then comes Christmas Eve. Every year Christmas Eve, we listen to the story once again, and you all here know it very well, I'm sure. It's a story from the book of Luke about a great joy for all of the people. The story of an amazing child sent by God to answer every longing of our hearts. It was a baby sent to reconcile us actually back to God. But the story's not just about a baby. It's also about a young couple who was unmarried. It's about some rich kings. It's about some shepherds on the third shift. It's about an old couple, as we listen to today, who thought their time had passed. And then on every Christmas Eve, after that story is told, we turn off the lights or dim them down really low, and we all stand up and we start to sing Silent Night as we light our candles one by one in celebration of the evening. We sing the song, "Silent Night, Holy Night, shepherds quake at sight, glory stream from heaven afar, heavenly hosts sing hallelujah, Christ the Savior is born. Advent really is a beautiful time. This Christmas season is a beautiful time. Even if you get frustrated with all of the commercialism and all the busyness of it, there's still something very beautiful that happens every year at Christmas. It happens in the hearts of all of those who long for something else, who hope that we will find just what our hearts are really yearning for. One way to describe the longing is to think of children, and if you've had any children ever in your home on Christmas morning, you know exactly what I'm talking about. Did you ever see the movie, and most of you probably have, A Christmas Story? Do you remember the big hit, the big toy, the big thing that kid wanted? The Red Ryder BB gun, and everyone kept saying, you're going to shoot your eye out, you're going to shoot your eye out. He didn't care, he wanted that Red Ryder BB gun anyways, right? Do you remember the Tickle Me Elmos back in the mid-90s? I was graduating high school, and I remember they came out really big, that Tickle Me Elmo thing. It would laugh and roll all around. Josh, one of the things he was really into were Furbies, and then Webkinz, where you got on the computer and had this little virtual world of the animals. When I was a kid, I remember the big toys that my sister and I loved to get were Cabbage Patch dolls. We had one real Cabbage Patch doll, and you knew they were a real Cabbage Patch doll because on their rear ends was the signature. I see some people my age nodding their head, yep, I remember. We had fake ones, too, because they were exciting as well, but they never had the signature on the rear end. Why did they put it on the rear end, by the way? Could have been on the bottom of a foot or something, but anyways, they were some of the big things that that I can remember, but I know we can't also just stereotype this to children. We can't just say children are the ones who really have these kind of longings, because we as adults still do it today. How many here waited in lines on Black Friday to get exactly what you wanted? Now, some are shaking their head, no, but I did. I waited in those long lines, not necessarily to get into the store, but at least going to purchase them. And most of the things I bought on Black Friday were not for anybody else. They were for me. That's when you get them on sale, right? Gotta be smart about it. But we all have some kind of something that we're longing for, and hopefully we can recognize today that we're longing for something even more than those materialistic things that we hope to have. We feel a longing that can't be bought on the grocery store shelves, can't be bought in a department store. It can't be wrapped up in a gift. It's not something we have to wait in line for. It's that feeling that we are hoping can be satisfied, really, at this time of year. Let's look a little further into the story today with Zechariah and Elizabeth, because they really had a deep longing for a really long time. They had a longing for a child, so much that it defines them. It defines their part of the story. When we hear about Zechariah and Elizabeth, this is the part we hear about, how she couldn't have any children, and she had longed for one for so long, and then all of a sudden was getting one. The description in Luke starts off with saying about their family lineage, and it includes, of course, where Zechariah was working as a priest, but then it says about how old they were, and it literally says they were old, okay? So we're thinking, you know, towards the later ends of their lives, the last few years, these people are old and way past the time of having children, yet the story takes a turn, doesn't it? The longing that they had definitely did write their story. As it starts, it came time for the priestly division where Zechariah worked on duty at the temple. It was his shift, and Zechariah was chosen by lots. So that's sort of like pulling straws. Whoever gets a shortest straw is the guy who goes in and burns the incense to God today. It's very likely, it's very possible, I should say, that this could have been Zechariah's first time getting that short end of the straw and going in and doing this. It is possible. But one way or another, whether it was his first time or not, this was a very, very big deal to be the priest chosen to go in and burn this incense. He was an old man, as we mentioned. He was probably counting his days down to retiring. He probably wasn't expecting to be chosen, but yet he was. Now, burning the incense symbolized something very important. It symbolized the prayers of God's people being raised up to God, but it was also more than just symbolic that was happening this day. Zechariah would be praying during this time. And not only was he praying, but did you pick it up in the scripture that there was a large group of people outside who were also praying for what he was doing in there in that moment? What were they praying for becomes the question. We don't exactly get the words in scripture of what they were praying for, but if we look around and read the lives of these people and read the lives of the Gospels, you can see what they really were longing for. The longings were deep in their hearts, and it was the longing of many people in that area. The longing was that God would come and make things right, that God would send that Messiah that they had been waiting for so long, that God would reconcile with them, that God's promise would be filled and would redeem them from oppression, because here they are living under the Roman Empire, and that empire is desperately pressing down on them, and they're becoming poor and stressed, and they're dying, and there's a lot of crazy things that are happening in their lives. So they were really yearning and longing for God to come and save them from that, but also to come and save them from their sins, and come and save them from all of these difficulties in their lives. So Zechariah goes into the temple, where he was the only person supposed to be there. No one else was allowed to be there. Only the priest could go in this far. And all of a sudden, he realizes he's not alone. There's somebody else in there. Now, we know now it's an angel and we hear what was said, but can you imagine his first response to that angel? As I mentioned to the children, we don't just all of a sudden every day see this beautiful vision of an angel in front of us speaking to us. So after, I'm sure he got over that initial part of the fear, he started listening to what the angel had to say. And I can't help but think that maybe he thought when the angel said, "The Lord has heard your prayer, Zechariah," did he think it was about his personal prayer? Or was he thinking of it as a whole? But one way or another, the angel does continue, and he tells him, "Your prayer has been heard. Your prayer, your longing prayer has been heard. Your longing has reached the ears of God. Your wife Elizabeth is going to have a son. And the son is going to be somebody special. He's going to be somebody great who's going to lead the way for the Messiah. The Messiah is finally coming. And your son that you've been longing for so long is going to be the guy to lead him." And even more, he says, "Zechariah, the longing of your heart to have this child is connected to the longing of all the people's hearts, not only the ones of standing outside that temple, but all the Israelites, all the people, all the Jews waiting for that Messiah. Your son is connected to that." Now, I've learned that often our deepest longings, the ones that keep us up at night, you know what I'm talking about, the ones we really, really want to see come, they often lead to some type of large part of God's plan. Whether we realize it or not in the moment, they end up leading to God's longing for the world. Zechariah and Elizabeth, who must have thought that any part of God's plan had surpassed them, they were too old, it wasn't going to happen, all of a sudden find themselves key players, some of the most important players in the biggest story ever. In all of our hearts, we long for something more. Something more. So what is it today that you long for? To put it another way, where in your life do you need reconciliation? I know that's a risky question, because often then we'll have to get vulnerable. We'll have to be vulnerable with God. And maybe you'll have to be vulnerable with some other person. But we do all need at least some kind of reconciliation. Our story goes as far back to the very beginning. Our story starts in that garden where the relationship with God and man and woman was just like taking an afternoon stroll every day through the beautiful garden, through the forest, through wherever they wanted to, and just enjoying each other. But when both man and woman chose to go their own way rather than God's way, that close relationship that had existed in the garden all of a sudden was compromised. All of a sudden was gone. Though God continually offered that same presence, that same type of relationship, men and women continued over generations and generations to choose the other way, to not choose him. Through sin and slavery, through wilderness and exile, God offered to come to them over and over and over again. But the people held on to a fear that just led them further and further and further away from God. So what does God do? He ultimately promises a Messiah, a Savior, who would come and save the story, who would come and save the day, who would come and save the world. The Messiah was the one who was going to reconcile God's people back to him. So think about this, and I hope you really give us a lot of thought over the week. But what is your heart really longing for this Christmas? Do you long for reconciliation with God? Do you long for something else? Do you long for healing? Do you ache for forgiveness? Do you long for a relationship to be restored? Are you longing for your everyday needs, your bills, to be paid? Perhaps your longing is for something bigger than yourself, such as peace and reconciliation in a place that it's devastated with war right now, or are certainly unfair injustice. There's a lot of places in this world that things are not so easy, not like we have it here. Do you long for things like that? The promise of Advent is that God does hear your longings. He hears every single one of them. He hears our longings, and then he sends Jesus to reconcile us. And then sends us. It doesn't end just with Jesus. He then sends us to be messengers of that reconciliation, to share our testimonies, to share how we got reconciliation. God, through Jesus Christ, wants to come. He wants to meet you. He wants to meet you wherever you are, and he wants to meet you with whatever longings that you have. You might want the newest gadget or the newest iPhone or whatever's out on the market today, the fancy bracelets or whatever it may be. You may be longing for those materialistic things, but I think if we let God take that crust off of our heart, take that top layer off of our heart, and really look deep into our hearts and pay attention to those deeper longings, he can do some pretty amazing things in our lives. We were sent to be reconciled with God. Jesus was sent to reconcile with us. And we're then sent to serve God and to share that reconciliation with all that we come across. Let's pray. Father, we thank you so much that you have sent Jesus Christ to truly be the one to reconcile us back to you. We thank you for this open door, this opportunity that always stands, that is always there just waiting for us to take a hold of and reach out, take you into our hearts and be reconciled. So many times in our lives, we are certainly longing for something more, whether it is healing or it's forgiveness or a particular kind of relationship. We ask, Father, that today you would give us open eyes, open ears, open hearts, to really think about where that is that we're longing, face it, and give it to you. We pray that today, Father, we can truly be reconciled by you and your beautiful gift. Let us go and think about where our hearts really want to be. Get rid of the topical service of Christmas, the commercialism of it all, the busyness of it, and really help us to see where we can be connected with you. In Jesus' name we pray.